interesting challenges we've noticed has come along with our homesteading journey, especially the more we're sharing our perspectives and experiences, is a fair deal of both criticism and praise from those who are watching what we're doing and how we're doing it. Whether it's in regard to our original decision to move out to the country, and yes, it's been over 8 years now, to get our hands dirty in the soil, to live a more frugal and quiet life, to raise our kids in the old-fashioned traditions of farm chores, tree forts, and homeschooling, or whether it's in regard to our lack of experience out here in the country. Aim and I both grew up in more urban areas, didn't have a background in any of this, and now we're finding ourselves probably more often than we want to admit, not 100% sure what we're doing, as we learn to grow things in our garden and to raise different kinds of animals. But one of the things we're encountering as we go along is this interesting mix of people, some of whom hold the opinion that what we're doing is crazy, foolish, ignorant, and that really the life we're giving our kids is more of a disservice than a service to them, by asking them to help pull weeds, or to feed pigs, or to check for eggs rather than letting them play video games all day. Or we'll sometimes hear from those who do have a love for farming and who happen to have a little bit more experience than we do, make it a point to let us know that practically everything we're doing out here could be done a better way, and of course, their way is the better way. That's one group of people we're hearing from, and then there's another group of people out there who think what we're doing is absolutely amazing, and who praise us for what we're doing. And they call us good parents and respectable people for trying to escape some of the craziness of our modern culture and to try and relearn some of the wholesome values of country life. And I'll just go ahead and tell you that both of those things, both the criticism on the one hand and the high praise on the other, can be somewhat of a challenge for us to deal with, because on the one hand, whenever we hear the criticism, I'll admit both Amy and I can get really discouraged. I mean, we can get really discouraged and want to throw in the towel. And on the other hand, whenever we hear the flattering praise, we can both be tempted to a great amount of pride and start to get the big head and think, yeah, we must have been pretty smart to make the decisions we've made to get us to where we are today. We can become a little boastful and want to think highly of ourselves because of how far we've come. But listen, both lines of thinking are deadly dangerous. They are deadly dangerous. And understand, I'm speaking here from a Christian perspective. Both self-condemnation and self-adulation can be toxic thoughts for a Christian to allow to take root in their heart and mind. And knowing full well that I'm not alone in that struggle to keep both of those pitfalls out of my way, and rather to just stay the course with both a sense of confidence and assurance, but also humility, what I just want to do here is to share a simple piece of advice when it comes to receiving both criticism and flattery, and that is to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to it as much as possible. A blind eye and a deaf ear. I can remember reading one of Charles Spurgeon's books, which was written primarily for pastors, warning them not to get too distracted by all the gossip and the chatter that's taking place about their ministry, but rather to make the habit and to discipline themselves to do this very thing in developing a blind eye and a deaf ear and letting a lot of those comments just roll off of them. In one of the chapters, he writes about the challenge of criticism. He says, quote, "You cannot stop people's tongues. Therefore, the best thing is to stop your own ears and never mind what is spoken. There's a world of idle chit-chat abroad, and he who takes note of it will have enough to do." In other words, if you're going to give attention to every ill word spoken about you, you're going to be occupied for a long time. And you're better off just ignoring it and getting back to the work that you should be doing. He goes on later to talk about the equal challenge of not just criticism, but flattery when he writes, yes, endeavor to improve in your work, but do not want to hear all that every Jack, Tom, and Mary may have to say about it. Even if the people should happen to be agreeable to you, it will only feed your pitiful vanity. In any case, it is all about yourself, and this is a poor theme to be anxious about. Play the man and do not demean yourself by seeking compliments like little children when dressed in new clothes who say, "See my pretty frock?" Besides, it's a crime to be taken off from the great objective of glorifying the Lord Jesus by petty considerations as to your little self. And if there were no other reason, this ought to weigh much with you. What a great reminder for all of us that as much as we may like to be praised in what we're doing, it's the Lord who really deserves the credit. Of course, none of that is to say that we shouldn't be gracious whenever we hear criticism or praise. Obviously, the point isn't to be rude and uncharitable when we hear from other people. In fact, there's another article I found very helpful written by a guy named Alfred Poirier, who says, to whatever degree we are subject to criticism, let us at least listen to it and view it through the lens of the gospel, which, of course, tells us whatever bad things are said about us, God's judgment against us is a whole lot worse. We haven't just fallen short of some neighbor's standards. We've fallen short of God's standards, and might I just say that's a much worse problem. If there's any truth in the criticism we receive from others, we can always look into that. But the fact of the matter is, what people are saying about us isn't even the half of it. We fail a lot more than they even realize. But then the good news about it all is that because of Jesus' work on the cross, we've been forgiven of our shortcomings and we've been accepted on Jesus' merits, not ours. And in Him, there is no condemnation. Sure, it's a nice thing to receive praise from others and get a pat on the back, but no one else's acceptance. Listen, nobody else's praise can come close to the acceptance we receive in Christ. And that's a very liberating thing to think about. So don't get so caught up in what others are saying. Rather, focus on what God has said in the gospel. If you're interested in reading Spurgeon's chapter on the blind eye and the deaf ear, or Alfred Poirier's article called The Cross and Criticism, I'm going to include those links in the description below. And if you have questions or thoughts on this topic, I just invite you to put them down in the comments. Again, I invite you to like, subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Stay tuned for more videos to come. Until then, God bless, and thank you for watching.